that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Welcome to my microphone right here. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we do welcome you here this morning, January 12th, 2019. Have to remember that. Boy, the year just has the days, the weeks, the months just run by. But we'll get everybody welcomed in this morning. Good morning, Brother Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And we say good morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for this snow. We woke up to a couple inches of new snow this morning. And it is wintertime, so praise the Lord. That's what we're getting, and we're thankful for that. And we do say welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here in our hearts, in our homes, and in this broadcast this morning. And we welcome you, the remnant. Already had phone calls in the office this morning, people tuning in and joining us, and so we say welcome and thank you for joining us. And we have, boy, there's quite a bit. It's every week. It just continues on, but quite a bit to talk about this morning. But John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer to kind of get us going down that right path this morning.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we thank you for all of our many blessings and our trials and our tribulations that mold us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. Sometimes we don't know why we go through the things that we do, and we don't understand, but we trust you, Lord. And we know that what you do is right. And that means that whatever happens in our lives, you have control over. And you have ordained that these things happen for a reason, even though we may not understand them. Father, increase our faith. Draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to that place of complete obedience, loving you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Father, we do thank you that in these last days, your promises are there for us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. Father, we know that there is no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that great sacrifice many years ago on the cross to give us access to that blood. We thank you for a pastor who you revealed to him the critical importance of immersion, baptism, as to how we contact that blood when we go down in that watery grave. We're born again of the water and the Spirit, and we come out immersed, white as snow. All our sins having been forgiven. The Bible says that we're clothed with Christ and that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that removes the scales from our eyes and unstops our ears and gives us wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. Allows us to see things that we may have never saw before as we read the Holy Word of God. And our name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to stand in the gap and to continue to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, it's in obedience to you that we come together this morning. Our desire is to serve you and to do your work and your will on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding, lead us to where, what it is that you want spoken, what benefits your people, the remnant. Father, prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls, even now, Lord, to receive these truths, prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the messages tomorrow and properly partake of the Lord's Supper, as we will tomorrow at church. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart, Lord. We can feel the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And Father, there, those tares are becoming more bold and brazen by the minute. Father, they have no shame anymore. They're not hiding what they are, that they're Antichrist and that they serve Lucifer. So, Father, we continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy to cause them to turn upon one another and destroy one another. Father, we just pray for those in positions of authority. Send your ministering angels to guide and direct them. Give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and discernment, Father. Discernment is so important in today's day. And Father, we ask for you to put your guardian angels around them and your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places as we claim the victory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And we do have the phone lines open, folks, if you want to call in this morning. 307-745-5913 is the number if you'd like to call in. And, you know, John, in your prayer, as you were talking about obedience, it seems like we don't hear much of that. Certainly don't hear it on Christian radio. If we're traveling and we listen to, you know, you can flip through and hear Grace FM, and there's different stations around that that televise, you know, that broadcast their sermons, and you don't hear, I sure don't hear much preached about obedience, about obeying the word. It's just believe, right? It's just, but that's usually what you hear, believe, but that obedience is such you know, our pastor taught on that is such an important part. Christ himself said, if you love me, what? Obey my commandments. Do what I said to do. And, of course, his word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word is God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Christ. And if we love him, we should obey his word. It's as simple as that, and especially in the days.
It'd be hard to obey if you believe that the law's been done away with, and that's what most of these people believe, and they preach, is that there's the law's been done away with, and the word's been done away with, then why are you supposed to obey it? Because it's been done away with. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. And our enemies have done that as a tactic of war to turn people away from the hearts and of God. Hearts and minds of the people have been turned away from God, as a lot of them are. You know, there's a remnant, and there always will be a remnant. But I mean, it's that's what happens in a society when you preach that the law of God has been done away with.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's even gone further than that. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, just saying that it's lawlessness, and that's what we see. We see the, you know, Hosea 4:6. You forget my what? Law. I'll forget your children. And we are living that. We are seeing that as a society. We really are. And that's one of the reasons we push, and I'm going to, about one more minute, I'll turn it back over to you guys, but we push the Bible reading plan. Is because if people will read their Bible, if I tell you something and you read it different in the Bible, and I haven't represented the Bible right, you believe the Bible. It's as simple as that. Our pastor taught us that no matter who says what, it has to be validated in the Word, or it's a lie. It's as simple as that. And the importance of people, Christians especially, reading the Word, getting that daily bread, that little bit of nourishment every day, it's needed. It's needed. And you know, the blessings people talk about, well, the economy's doing better for some, and prices are better, and things are going well, but you know, the economy is not what's going to save us. The economy is not going to overflow us with blessings. That's not where blessings come from. I'm sure we'll talk about the wall today that the president's wanting to get built on the southern border, but the wall is not what's going to save us. I think it's needed, but we can't put all our hope and trust in that. Our Bible reading plan, we have a new Bible reading plan out for the year, a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, and a touch of Psalms and Proverbs every day. Just a little bit. And I just want to read the Proverbs for today. It's just two verses. And it's Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. And the promise that's there, the promise that is there is true. It is as true as any other scripture in the Word. For all of us. For me, for you, for the remnant, for each and every one of us. And it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And there's people out there that, oh no, don't, and it's talking about tithing. First, honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce. And there's people out there, oh no, that's, you know, they'll get into rabbit trails and everything else. It's just what the Word says. You can believe it or not. And especially in today, again, John, you when you prayed about obedience, this is part of the obedience, that when we obey, the word comes true. Just like back there in Hosea 4:6, you forget my law, I forget your children. Well, the opposite of that's true too. When we see that many in the remnant and pastor taught, we remember his law, not for salvation, but for obedience. And when we return to his law, he remembers our children. It is as simple as that. And we have seen that. Whether we see it or not, the word is true. And I just wanted to put that plug in for the Bible reading plan. And the Proverbs and the Psalms that are spread out throughout the entire year. It's almost like, it's been for me in reading this first 12 days of calendar year 2019, like a little inspirational calendar that you might have, just a little quip, you know, just a little short little, no full chapters, but just a short little quip, inspiration to get you thinking, to keep you in the Word. And this one here, you want to be blessed? You want the windows of heaven opened up to you? Do what Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says. And it is part of that obedience. It's another step when we do this. It's another step in obedience. It's another step down that straight and narrow path. Anyway, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought where you were going with it was a year or so ago, I referenced a few preachers that have determined that several of the commandments no longer apply to us. You know, they pick and choose which ones that they think that we should follow and which ones we shouldn't. But it's even become more apostate than that. I just read a story here this morning. I'll touch on it later. But basically, it said a mega pastor, Stanley, I forget his first name, but anyways, he has a congregation of over 33,000 that he has determined that the Ten Commandments no longer apply to Christians. And I think it's just, you know, in the last days, they just become more bold and brazen. And this story this week really caught my eye, that traditional masculinity deemed harmful and could lead to sexual harassment, a medical group says. And this, for the first time in the history of American psychological, for the first time the American Psychological Association deemed the APA, released guidelines concerning men and boys, saying that so-called traditional masculinity is not only harmful, but also could lead to homophobia and sexual harassment. The main thrust of the subsequent research is that traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is on the whole harmful, reads the new release by the Framed Association.
Amen.
So,
amen. And you know it is, John. That is absolute truth. It is, because masculinity, and I'll say, and lump Christianity in with it, it is harmful to the tares. It is harmful to the enemies of God, right?
Yeah. But it says, it notes that the research shows traditional masculinity is psychologically harmful, and that socializing boys to suppress their emotion causes damage that echoes both inwardly and outwardly. So, I don't know. I think it's just interesting that things that we really couldn't have fathomed back even 5 years ago are becoming common headlines these days. I mean, you can just, you know, how many times does the Bible say, act like men? And
yes.
Weather the storm. Be like men. So obviously, you know, the enemy has stepped up their efforts to thwart the teachings of the Bible and teach the exact opposite. Excuse me.
Absolutely, it is. You know, reminded me. I flipped my Bible to Joshua. Joshua 1. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Only be strong and courageous. That's right there, four times in Joshua 1. And this that you're reporting on is just the opposite of that. It absolutely is. But it is. It is truth, because masculinity, Western man, Christianity, it is absolutely fearful and detrimental to the workings of Satan and his minions. It absolutely is. That's like old Feinstein. You know, she jumped back in the battle again. It's interesting how the government shut down, but boy, they're still pushing gun bans Figured that one out. And Feinstein out in California looking to ban, putting the, I hate to use the term assault rifle because that's military rifles and that's not what we have, but I think it's up to 205 is where the list is now of semi-autos, pistols and rifles, mainly rifles. Big gun ban pushing again because the people that won't vote it in, but they're pushing it again there in California because, and many people say, why? See, because guns in the hands of masculinity that you're talking about prevents the enemy's plans from coming through. It prevents them from killing millions like the communists have done over the past 100 years. It prevents that. And guns in the hands of the people is fearful, just like men are fearful. You know, the enemy fears a real man.
Appears to be a coup across the country these days, too. I don't know if you saw, did you see in Pennsylvania, too, that remember how they said first that they were banning magazines 10 rounds or over? Well, something I just read this morning, Jason might know more about it, but apparently they're coming for the AR-15s, trying to ban AR-15s right now, and there was, I guess, a couple thousand people that assembled against it. But, you know, the problem with assembling against it is you're putting yourself out there that you're you may have one of those. But I think especially here in the state that we live in, with the demon rats taking over the House, the Senate, and the governorship, including a queer, boy, talk about God humbling you. I think there's going to be a huge push nationwide to disarm the American people. But, you know, that's why the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed upon. If we give them just an inch, you know that that's just going to open the floodgates. It always has in the past, just like our pastor was wise enough to understand back before anyone even knew the threat of homosexuality and how it would lead to transgenderism and the next step is pedophilia. It's the same thing with the gun bans. If we allow them to ban anything, then it's opens the floodgates to establishing law. And the good news is right now, at least most sane men with masculinity refuse to turn over their weapons or their magazines or anything else. Of course, you have towns like Boulder, Colorado, not too far from where we are, where you have a bunch of panty waste that, you know, government is their god. And so far, there's number, you know, there's, I guess, less than 100, but still, the secret in defiance against these ungodly laws is in numbers. And you know, that's what people say, well, what are we going to do when this happens, when that happens? Well, I'll tell you what, if nobody, not one person, follows their stupid mandates, then there's nothing they can do, and they know it.
Amen. I think we've seen that, too, with the magazine bans in, what was it, Connecticut. You know, nobody's turned anything in. You know, the people in Connecticut, they're all law-abiding citizens, and they, you know, they didn't have any of these banned contraband because they didn't turn them in. Right. And so they must not have had any. And we are seeing that, John. You are. You know, there's, we talk a lot about when we mention things like Boulder and stuff that even the national news, you know, they were portraying some of the protests there right at the end of the year before that gun ban kicked in for penalties and whatnot. Hippies with guns is how they were portraying it. I saw a couple different news stories, and there certainly are probably some hippies with guns down there, but there's also some good, red-blooded, all-American Christian people that live in Boulder that you don't hear about, that are doing just like you said, that are doing their best to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and trusting in the Lord, trusting and obeying, and call it civil disobedience if you want, but not turning in, certifying, I think is how the Boulder City Commission put it, these defensive weapons. And
yeah, to have them certified, supposedly.
Yeah.
Certified, whatever.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I think it was, the last numbers I saw were 86. All year, they passed it back in May. And so from May to December, they had 86 guns come in certified and got certified. And you had to take them to the sheriff's office and all that mess, or police office. And But I would think that there's a few more there than that. And you know, that should help give us hope. It should remind us that even in Boulder, they're not all hippies with guns. And they're not all out at the protests. There's plenty of them. Boy, I remember there's one guy drives around in a big old Hummer down there, you know, Second Amendment and this and that. And I, like you mentioned earlier, I don't, if that's your calling, great. It's not mine. Not to advertise like that. But it is encouraging to see the people standing up, not just there, but I think we'll see this in California as well, and have seen quite a bit on social media and texts and emails and things like that, that you know, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns, and that's not the bad guy outlaws, because the bad guy outlaws are going to have guns anyway. They're already breaking the law. And that's the logical way of thinking about it. But these Feinsteins, these that do the desires of their father, the devil, they're not thinking logically. None of that matters. Wyoming, the state legislature, is passing a, looks like it's going to pass. They're in session, just swore in a new governor, and they are looking to pass to where they are removing the restrictions in the state on not being able to like carry concealed on school campuses and university campuses and things like that, calling it a state issue and saying that, no, your little towns like Laramie and University of Wyoming can't come in and say, well, we don't want a concealed carry person to be able to carry, coming into the courthouse or going on to the school and dropping their kid off or up to the university. Because that's what they have in, and the state is overruling those laws, those restrictions, and we'll see. We'll see. It's the state went heavy right, heavy Republican in the election, and we'll see what happens. But it is encouraging that we're not quite to the yellow vests in France. They're still, months later, still rioting in France. These yellow vests, these working class French-born people, not the invaders, rioting and protesting because of the really the ungodliness of the government. So we're not quite to there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of that in 2019.
Well, yeah, especially with the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, looks like she's apparently on her deathbed or ready to step down.
Yes.
That's an answered prayer, in my opinion.
Yes.
But, we thought we saw a lot going on with the Kavanaugh hearings. This could literally, start a civil war.
Yes.
It's hard to say, but it's a good time to be prepared for anything. Definitely prayed up, blood of Jesus over you and your family and all that the Lord's blessed you with. But these are interesting times that we're living in, for sure.
Amen. Amen. Jason?
I thought it was interesting, as you were talking about masculinity, it's one of the things that has started up here in Windsor, Colorado, of all places, too. is they started, the library started hosting the upcoming, or they call it the Drag Queen Story Hour.
Oh,
and that's a program that started in 2015 out in California, and it had grown. It was put together with Splash and LGBTQ. It was an outreach designed to have a story hour for children where I pretty much think when you see a drag queen dressed up wearing a dress, it's probably a dude. And when you see one of them dressed up as a guy, it's probably a chick. But, anymore, you just don't even know. But they started trying, they tried to host it, and they're starting. They said that they have it scheduled to be hosted in Windsor at the public library. And I'll tell you what, they said it got a lot of support, but I sure never saw any support emails or anything they said they had. But they sure did get the opposition from business owners all across Windsor. From people pretty much all across the state. Everything from, this is an outrage, we're disgraced, you're offending me by hosting this, to prominent business owners saying, hey, this isn't right, and you're using a public building for something that, we as taxpayers don't want our tax money used for. And so it's interesting. There's a good fight going on there. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. So, I mean, it's one of those things that when you see something like that, you got to keep it in prayer because it's, it's like John was talking. It's an attack against masculinity. But, I mean, talk about, the pictures that they show. I mean, they got toddlers that are, 1 and 2 years old, parents taking their children, and they got this big old fat nigger woman on there that, he's sitting there wearing a dress, and it's not even a woman. It's probably a dude. I think it is a dude. Reading stories to your children, and is what they got. Is they bring these kind of people in there, and they have them read stories because they tell them, and is what they're saying is they want them to relate. They want them to get their children to relate and find the things that they have in common together with their children, starting at age 1 and 2. I'm like, are you kidding me? And there's people that are actually taking their kids to it because they think it's good for them. I mean, that, you talk about brainwashing.
It absolutely is. It is teaching. It is putting, it's like it is putting this filth, because our enemies understand how this works. It is putting this filth in front of our children's eyes as early as possible so they're used to it, so they grow accustomed to it. And it is a conduit to demons. And I know you guys know that. That's exactly what it is. It is brainwashing. It is an attack on our children. And I would encourage you folks, you heard, I think, John, you said earlier, we're being pushed. And we're going to get pushed more and more and more. This is a local area, a local way. You can push back. You can push back. Be involved in your local library. There is a wealth of information there. Wyoming just passed this, the feds just legalized hemp. I went to my local library and I said, what do you have on hemp, on growing hemp? They didn't have anything. So I asked them if they could get some stuff in. And I'm up there. I take our children up to the library. We check books out. The people in the library are familiar with me, if that makes sense. I'm in there, good morning, good afternoon, checking books in, out, asking them, in a positive way. But I'm keeping my eye out for this kind of filth as well, to do that very thing, Jason. And I think each and every one of us need to be doing that. That is something you can do in North Platte, Nebraska. That's something you can do in Tampa, Florida. That's something you can do in Hoboken, Wisconsin. Wherever you're at, libraries are all over. But that, it reminds me when they had that... that drug dealing queer that was killed here in Wyoming in a drug deal gone bad years ago. And pastor was in town, and he tells the story better than anybody, but where the reporter comes up and asks him about, if he knows what's all going on and everything, and pastor, in no uncertain terms and in masculine language that we don't use around females, asked him that, you mean that, called the guy a pervert, and you mean this guy that does such and such with his such and such to somebody, another man such and such, is not a pervert? And, we can do that. You don't have to quote scripture. But you can, you know, many people hopefully still have a sense of right and wrong. And when you see these things coming to your library, speak up against it. Speak up against it. Prevent it from coming. Tell other people about it. It is a kidnapping, a brainwashing of our collective children, of our children in our society.
Yeah, it's one of the things. Well, the library used to be a safe place to take your children, and now it's one of those places you got to be careful when you take your children.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of Locust Joel, and you know, coming in all over the place, and I thought it was pretty interesting because this week, Mecca's Grand Mosque was plagued by swarms of locusts. I don't know if anybody else saw this.
I saw that.
It was viral, and it was interesting. And I put a small clip up there on the newswire, and it reads, a massive swarm of locusts plagued Mecca, Saudi Arabia, earlier this week, prompting authorities of Islam's holiest site to launch a cleaning operation to remove them. Video was posted social media showed the insects swarming around cleaners and worshippers in the Grand Mosque where millions of Muslim pilgrims congregate every year. Specialized teams have been directed to work in the fight to eliminate these insects, authorities in Mecca said. According to the Al Arabiya Al Ajiba news site, we have harnessed all efforts available to speed up the eradication of the insects in the interest of the safety and comfort of our guests. According to CNN, officials identified the locusts as migratory black grasshoppers and said that 22 teams consisting of 138 people were dispatched to deal with the infestation. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of locusts. And these pictures are just pretty much unbelievable. I mean, there are people in suits. They're just getting bombarded and attacked by locusts. These pictures, I mean, pictures worth a thousand words, and I'll tell you what, it's you got to look up the pictures in order to get a real real idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
Exodus, 10:1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I've hardened his hearts and the hearts of his servants, that I may perform these signs. And one of the signs that God brought was when Moses stretched out his hands, tomorrow the locusts came and invested the territory, and they completely devoured everything. They devoured all the crops. They devoured everything, even stuff that the Bible says, everything that the hail had put on the ground.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, too, there's numerous rivers in different places throughout the world that turned blood red, too, here in the last week or two. So, I mean, there's definitely the signs and wonders all over the world going on right now. You know, God's a patient God, you know, not as the world
Amen.
Would count patient, but he's not wanting any of his, let's put it that way, to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. And he's a patient God, and he's given us, you know, a window of opportunity to repent, in my opinion. And, you know, it's, whose God are you going to serve? Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If be Baal, then serve Baal. But if the Lord be your God, then serve the Lord. But, you know, he's done with lukewarm. And I've had several conversations recently with people who, at least they're starting to realize that, you know, the churches are nothing more than feel-good kind of places where, you know, you can go for an hour or two and think that you're fulfilling your commitments being a Christian. And I think God's done with the churches of Laodicea. You see more and more churches that are failing, more and more churches, sadly, that are changing their curriculum and their form of teaching to mold to the world.
Yes.
I mean, I'm starting to see church signs here in Fort Collins that now have a rainbow, you know, sticker or flag on them, just to show inclusive, you know, that they're inclusive to all. And you know, that's not the God that I serve, the
Amen.
God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. So the teachings in the Old Testament, sorry, churches that rip your Bible in half and throw away the Old Testament, doesn't work that way. And those parents, you know, the, just like you said, the parents that would dare take their children to something like that, got news for you. You're going to answer for it. They're not your children. You're basically a steward of those children that God blessed you with. And let me tell you something. You don't take care of them. You don't follow God's teachings. Don't be surprised if you don't have them. Not that they, God may take them, but he might, but the government will take them away from you, because God will be sure that, or they'll be awarded to another relative that can take care of them. But bottom line is, you better start fearing God in every decision that you make.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's one of the reasons, I'll come back to this Bible reading plan. In Proverbs, we're just in Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 1, the wisdom that is there, you know, verse 24, I called and you refused, God says. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected all my counsel. You didn't want my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. Those are the words of Jesus Christ, folks. Those are the words of God. He will laugh at your calamity when you don't fear him, when you don't desire to live your life according to him. He will laugh at your calamity. That is the God we serve, like it or not. That is the word. I will mock when your dread comes, he says. When distress and anguish come upon you, they will call on me, but I will not answer. And if that doesn't, you know, strike a little fear into you, strike a little concern, I tell you, I sure want God to answer me when I call on him. And he does. Because we have to obey. We have to do what it says. Not only believe like the demons, but do. And I think God is laughing at the calamity. And he will continue to, John, just like you're saying. And if you don't want him to, you better get in the Word. You better read it. You better believe it. You better obey it. You better apply it. And then you get to share it with others. It is as simple as that.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I've got some father's business to be about right now, too. A little five-year-old boy was diagnosed with cancer here the other day, and the family who has this five-year-old boy plays on the soccer team with my son, and had heard some of the stories of praying over people with cancer and within our midst, and
praise the Lord,
prayer cloth, and apparently has enough faith to text me and ask that we would do a prayer cloth. I don't even know the child's name right now. All I got was a text: would you please do a prayer cloth and pray for my son, 5 years old, that's just been diagnosed with cancer. So we're going to do that. I have a prayer cloth here. I just followed Leviticus 14, 15 through 18, poured the oil in my left palm, sprinkled it 7 times before the Lord, poured some oil on this cloth, and prayed that this cloth would be a sponge and absorb the prayers that are put forth for this child. I believe that we're in the time and heading more into the time of diseases and plagues and things that are going to come upon our people that the medical institutions will not be able to heal. And only a man of God who walks in the power and the faith of the Holy Spirit will be able to heal those people. And once again, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ will,
amen,
be spread throughout the world through those miracles that he will allow those that are faithful and obedient to do. Now, I hope and I pray that I qualify for that. I do know that I fall short and continually ask for God's grace and mercy and compassion, but I also know that we're growing closer to the Lord as we take our walk more seriously. So let's pray for this young man. I'll start, and then whoever else wants to pray. Well, Heavenly Father, you heard the request of a father who's crying out for grace and mercy and compassion for his son. Father, I know that he attends one of those churches of Laodicea, but something in his spirit led him to believe, James 5:14,
yes,
that if there is one sick in your midst, call for the elders to anoint him and to pray over him. And Father, your word says in Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, that in those days even cloths were taken and put upon the sick and they were healed. And Father, we intervene for this little boy, Father, this five-year-old little boy that's been diagnosed with cancer. And Father, we have a prayer cloth. We ask that you would allow this prayer cloth to absorb these prayers, Father, and that these prayers would transfer to this child as this prayer cloth is brought to this child. Father, we pray believing in faith, the faith that you've given us. And Father, we come against this damnable disease, this plague of Egypt that's come upon our people, this cancer. And Father, we know that nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse this child and heal him. So, Father, we pray even now that the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior would flow through this child from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Grant him restoration, restoral, and healing. Father, we know that those cancer cells reside in our bodies all the time, but you've given us a mechanism to defeat and to destroy them, and it's called the immune system. And you've given us white blood cells to seek out and destroy those things that are abnormal. So, Father, we ask now that you would supercharge this little boy's immune system and that those white blood cells would travel throughout his body, Father, seeking out and destroying anything that's abnormal, any viruses, any sickness, any illness. And, Father, we cancel any satanic assignments that may have been sent against this little boy and forbid the enemy from operating in his life. And Lord, if it's due to the sins of the fathers, we intervene, Father. We ask for grace and mercy and compassion in this little boy's life. And Father, I pray if there's something that needs to be dealt with in the family, that the Holy Spirit would reveal it to the patriarch and that he would understand what it is that needs to be done. If there's any spells or witchcraft at play here, Father, we bind those as well, just as your word says, that whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, I just pray that you would send your guardian angels to protect this little boy. And Father, your warring angels to battle Leviathan. And Father, we boldly proclaim in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, that this boy is his, Jesus Christ. And Satan, you can't have him. And Father, we praise you and we love you and we thank you, Lord, for the answer to this prayer ahead of time. Go ahead.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come in agreement upon this matter and we pray and we desire for this child, this young man, to be healed. And we just claim that. We claim call for the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to flow into his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We want this child healed, Father. We lift him up to you. You know him. You know the number of hairs on his head, Father. You know him from the inside to the outside. And we pray for him to just to be completely and totally miraculously healed by the blood that's been shed so long ago. And we claim that and call for that to be extended down upon him. And we pray, Father, that you just work in this child's life for the rest of his life. And then you see to it that he grows up to be a Christian. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.
Yes, Father, we praise you for this, and we thank you for it, Lord, for this opportunity to pray for this child. Lord, we speak your healing into him. Father, we rejoice that his father has heard, Lord, and that's how your word is spread. That is how the gospel was spread so many years ago, and Lord, that's how it'll be spread today, is they will hear. Have you not heard? Have you not heard of the power of Jesus Christ? See his power here. And Lord, we praise you for this healing. We look to you for this healing. We lift up this request, Lord, in agreement. And we say in Jesus' name, little boy, be healed. Cancer, we curse you. We bind, bundle, and cast you to the foot of the cross and to the glory of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Nazarene. Little boy, be healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
that is encouraging that the Father heard. And the Father heard because men of God have done, have obeyed, have been doers of the word. This is not to bring any glory to John. You know that. This is not to bring any glory to any of us here. It is to glorify God. But we glorify God when we do, when we share the word. Not out of pride, not out of haughtiness, not out of, I know this and you don't. No, not that at all. But to glorify God, to bring others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And saving from our sins, but also saving from our sicknesses and our diseases. When you read that, and you know, that is the many reasons that Christ went to the cross. And that is one of them. I encourage you folks, read. That's why that Bible reading is so important. Read Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53. Verse 4, surely our griefs, which means sickness, He Himself bore, and our sorrows, and that word is translated pains, He carried. So surely our sickness He Himself bore, our sorrows He carried to the cross. To the cross. The chastening for our peace fell upon Him, verse 5 says. And that is saving from our sins, that we certainly need saving from. Saving from the hand of all who hate us. Saving from that. Saving from our sicknesses, from our pains, so that we can be at peace. And I believe that. I know the men here believe that.
Amen. You know, I think it's important. Lord revealed this to me here just a few weeks ago, and it's really, you know, it seems minor, but it's critically important. The fact that without humility, I mean, God uses humility, I believe, as a conduit, as a way of distributing His blessings and fulfilling His promises for His people. And without humility, you know, without love for one another, without love for Jesus Christ, without sacrifice, self-sacrifice, without humbling ourselves, we cannot receive those blessings, and we cannot claim those promises. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why I said, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do all these things in Your name? And He says, depart from me. I knew you not. Part of that was, I believe, because what they did for either personal financial gain or notoriety. And it wasn't for the purpose that the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do these things. We're to do them out of love. Amen. For one another, and out of love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us to save a wretch like us. Let us never forget that. That's part of the humility. We're nothing. Our pastor used to teach us that, you know, you got to come to the place where you realize that you're nothing. Well, you're nothing without Jesus Christ. And Amen. Once Jesus Christ's Spirit resides in you, then you are something. You're a vessel. You're to be used to fulfill the Great Commission, all of it, to spread the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this ministry in particular, our mission, our job, is to spread the truth regarding immersion baptism, the critical importance of that. And, you know, as the day draws nigh, the time is running out. It's really, if you've listened to this program, if you've been a member of the body for any period of time and you still haven't quite grasped the importance of being born again of the water and the Spirit, then you better figure it out quick.
Amen. Amen. Just as our time is drawing, you know, to a close this morning, we see the signs of the times, not prophesying a day, but the signs of the times are there. the parable of the tares and the wheat. The wheat is bowed down, working. Hey, glad to be working, but some working, full-time jobs, multiple jobs. And what are the tares doing? Standing up straight and tall. Hollywood, praising and thanking Satan for getting awards. We saw that this past week. The tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty. And the Word tells us that when we see that, see, that's that separation that's happening, and we're seeing that separation happening. That separation of the wheat bowing down and the tares standing up. And the Word tells us when we see that, that is when the time of harvest comes. That is when God Almighty sends His reapers, His angels, to bind, bundle, and burn the tares, to remove them from the wheat. And we are seeing that approach. We are seeing that happening, that separation. Well, guys, we are out of time. Want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow, folks, and you can come join us right on your computer at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on at the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Eastern, 10:30, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, excuse me, and join us. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth there for you that you see these prophecies. We are living these prophecies that were told to us many years ago. John, looking forward to your live message. We will have communion. We will be able to judge ourselves. Come tomorrow to church with us and so you can help us judge. We can judge ourselves. That's what we're told to do when we remember. And so we encourage you to join us. And guys, look forward to seeing you there, and be blessed.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.